Welcome back to episode 187 of the BlockRunner podcast. Here is where we discuss the latest developments in cryptocurrency while we make this new technology relatable to you. You can watch this podcast on our YouTube channel to follow along with our discussion. Another way to stay up to date is by signing up to our newsletter at theblockrunner.com. As always, I'm your host, William, talking with your co-host, Iron Man, and here's some of the topics we discuss today. First up, we take a look at the latest trending tokens in the Bitcoin ecosystem. Next, we focus on what can lead people to a 10x entertainment opportunity. Then, Iron Man and I decipher the implications of artifacts on other chains. And finally, we reset and take a look where the crypto cycle is in the Wall Street market psychology diagram. All right, let's listen in. Welcome back to another episode of the BlockRunner podcast. I'm your host, William, always here with your co-host, Iron Man.
Yo, yo, dude.
On the sticks, we got TJ.
Hello.
No interview today, Iron Man.
No interview. So our last interview was the on-chain monkey guy.
That's right. Danny Yang.
Which was very impressive. I feel like we've reached one of the pinnacles of people we should target to, you know, who else is on our like hit list?
Yeah.
If we had like a top five, you know, people we're trying to like talk to in like the ordinals, like, or Bitcoin space, I guess.
Yeah.
Like who would make your top five list?
Well, it would be Danny.
Who else?
Casey.
Casey for sure.
Benny.
We've already, I know. Okay, we'll cross him off the list.
Right.
Who else?
Who else? Maybe Trevor.
I feel like having a conversation with Andreas Antonopoulos would be cool. Just to kind of get his like opinion on what the I don't even know if he's aware.
He's not. I pinged him on Twitter.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not on Twitter anymore.
He's like, I don't know. I guess he's just, you know, he made his bag and he's like, I'm out, lads. You guys got it from here.
Well, all he talked about was Bitcoin, right?
That's what I mean.
So there wasn't much to talk about.
But that's my point. Now there's like so much to talk about.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to enjoy what's happening.
I don't know. Because we, if you don't know, you search our channel, lads. We actually did speak to Andreas Antonopoulos once.
We did.
And yeah, we discussed obviously Bitcoin, but we also discussed things like Ethereum, which was kind of like in its...
Yeah, I think he even wrote a book on Ethereum.
Yeah, so he's actually interested in these like ecosystem developments.
Yeah.
I'm sure little did he know like an actual ecosystem would emerge on Bitcoin. I'm sure he was aware like there were attempts, but it all like migrated to Ethereum.
Yeah, he did make a YouTube video talking about colored coins.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I would actually like to see that.
Yeah.
So, pretty good. Dude, he would be in my top five because I want to know his like positioning and stance, because what we're about to talk about, like when you actually start to like unpackage what like the last 8 months or so that we've been like witnessing. Yeah. What's happening in this Bitcoin space? There's a legitimate like war happening. I mean, okay, maybe legitimate is a little overstatement. There's no war.
Yeah. Economic war.
Yeah, not a literal war happening, but there's like a war of ideology, maybe technical ideology.
Well, it's a battle of the invisible hand, right? It's like, where is it going to go?
Yeah, of course, because there's a chart here. And like we saw this on Twitter, and like it just kind of like it really painted the picture to me, like so, like what's the word?
Perfectly.
Like clearly, like what's happening? Like damn, yeah. There's just so many options. You ignore the inscription thing, that's on a different chain, but it's still like in line with what's kind of happening. Like there's so many new attempts at creating new value layers, you know, on top of Bitcoin that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Specifically on Bitcoin, you have BRC20s. You got Pipe Protocol, which you could also, I guess it is its own exclusive thing. You could add runes to that, which isn't on this like categories list yet.
This is weird because we're comparing random BRC20 token market caps with like Pipe. Well, I guess Pipe is a fungible token market cap. We have Atom.
Atomicals is another one.
Atomicals, right.
And then we saw Lightning Network here. And we're like, hold up, Lightning Network. Are they talking about Taproot assets? And they are.
Yeah.
There are actual Taproot assets deployed right now.
Yeah.
And there's not many people talking about that, right? And then some of these that aren't on this list, like SRC20s with stamps, I feel like is definitely worthy of being included on this list because there's a lot of validity to all of these different like token protocols. Meta protocols is what they call them.
Yeah, correct. Right? Yeah.
I mean, it's wild to see. So that... I guess we're like in this weird like infancy period where all of these attempts are valid, but again, the invisible hand hasn't like clearly decided yet.
The weird thing about the invisible hand is like it picks the winner in terms of like the volume of money flowing into that ecosystem, but it doesn't only just pick one, right? All the boats here are going to rise, right? But one boat is going to rise faster than the other. Mm. And that's because more human beings are in that ecosystem than others.
Yeah, I guess at this stage, man.
So it's like, so it's if you care about crypto or just interested in like the whole idea of it, it's good to know about what exactly is happening in all these ecosystems. And that's what we do. Like we did an ETHscription video, we did a pipe video, we talked about sats. I don't know if we talked specifically about Ordi, but it's just a BRC20 in the first one.
Yeah, I mean, Ordi was when we first discovered BRC20.
That's true.
Ordi was basically like standing alone in the market.
Yeah, know? Atomicals.
Kind of like what we're seeing in all these other like competing ecosystems. Like Atomicals, you know, their token, the Atom token, is kind of like a standalone, you know, face of the ecosystem, right?
Right, right.
Just how Ordi was in the beginning.
Yeah, just like Track is for Track.
You mean Pipe?
Oh, well, Pipe here, but Track represents that ecosystem too.
Yeah. And then of course, so the point is, it's like, man, I kind of like struggling here a little bit just to kind of like keep up.
Yeah.
Because we thought there would be like a consolidation. At some point there probably will be. And then we were kind of like discussing among ourselves, like, you know, if we were to make a prediction, which of these would win out?
Yeah, because we were talking about stamps. And I have a tweet here by Mike in Space, the creator of stamps. And he's quote tweeting a Leonidas tweet. It says, Elon was right. High-end digital art belongs on chain. Ordinal inscriptions on Bitcoin are the answer. And it says, here's an image where 100% of ordinals inscriptions are stored on Bitcoin, where 99% of NFTs are stored on Amazon Web Services. And then it says, Mike in Space says, by far the most expensive way to store art is in bare multi-sig transaction outputs. But why would you want to pay more to store your art this way as opposed to the witness data? The answer, persistence of data across every node. This is the basis of stamps. And so you could use ordinals and put it into the witness data, which is significantly cheaper, or you can use stamps and put it into the multi-sig transaction, which is more expensive, but non-prunable, and it's across every single node, not just some nodes.
Yeah. So I like Mike in Space here, like capitalizing on like, oh, are you guys going to go all in on this?
Oh yeah. You guys want artifacts?
Yeah. You guys want to go.
Are you sure?
Yeah. You really want to emphasize this on-chain narrative because Elon Musk went on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah.
Clearly, explicitly stated that as being the number one detractor to NFTs. Like, okay, well, I'll see your on-chain, like, you know, information storage mechanic, and I'll raise you.
Yeah, like, a real one.
And an even more, like, embedded version of that. So you can't exclude what's happening, you know, in this ecosystem from that discussion.
Right.
You know, 'cause that's what I mean. Like, this adds a whole new, like, valid vector of contention to, you know, what ordinals is.
Yeah.
From a technical advantage perspective, right?
Yeah, and stamps, they still use UTXOs, the same thing as ordinals. Is like pretty much anything on top of Bitcoin uses UTXOs as a framework to do anything. The difference is that ordinals created this nomenclature for each Satoshi, and it created sort of like an attractive narrative for people.
Yeah. And then so that was like the main, when you compare and align like all these different meta protocol standards to generate like a tokenized environment on Bitcoin, you start to notice like ordinals does kind of stand out because of that.
Yeah.
This whole idea. And then we're like, well, what is it about that like makes it so like we're all attracted to that narrative, the lore behind that. And I think it aligns with DMT.
Yeah. It's not arbitrary.
The same thing when we were trying to figure out like, why does Bitmap like seem so intuitively attractive to us?
You know? Yeah, I totally agree. It that has to be the only explanation, because each Bitcoin that enters in the ecosystem per block comes in a sequence. And so Casey Runimer just said, well, let's just put an ID system for that sequence and let's attach data to each Satoshi.
Yeah.
And now we have a thing called ordinals.
So, well, what about that specifically? Okay, it's like identifying a pattern, right? Mm-hmm. There's a chronology of like you know, Satoshi introduction into the ecosystem.
Yeah.
That's something I can get, like, again, attribute some new layer of
value, attribution,
identity assignment to, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it is a pattern thing. We're talking about this earlier in like in extreme examples. Like, if humans weren't very good at patterns, we probably wouldn't even exist as long as we've had. Because, for example, right, what if someone gets eaten by a lion? And without this pattern recognition, someone sees a different lion somewhere else in a different location, and they'd be like, well, let's see what this is. And then they get eaten again.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we're thinking like that's, well, yeah, why do we appreciate just patterns in general? It's probably, yeah, it has to be like a survival mechanism that we've just adopted through the process of evolution, right? Our lineage of, I guess, thought patterns, the identification of patterns, and then I guess
the utilization.
Yeah. Responding in context of them obviously contributed a lot to our survival in the wild of senses, right? So it makes sense that we've kind of like, we intuitively kind of respect and you know, honor,
just appreciate the pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, whenever you go to a website and they ask you to, they challenge you with a CAPTCHA, that's because a human can recognize the pattern of what is an image. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, click on the fire hydrant or the bicycles.
Yeah.
Right. Because we can recognize what that pattern is. Mm-hmm. A robot, AI, well, now they can start recognizing those patterns. So this CAPTCHA thing is about to get obsolete. Mm-hmm. But inherently, we're built in with this pattern recognition that we attribute value to. And so Casey did that with ordinals. Satoshi did that with bitmap. We're talking about building a framework for DMT so that anybody can leverage this non-arbitrary aspect and pattern recognition.
So what do you think is the likelihood of like this invisible hand? I mean, I guess they're already kind of showing it. BRC20s clearly has a lead, but there's a little bit of first mover advantage to this. And but we have Taproot assets kind of like eventually going to come in and, you know, make its presence be known. Mm-hmm. Like, despite its like technical advantages, what do you think the market, you know?
Well, Taproot assets, you were explaining how it was that's coming from like the Bitcoin Core development team, mm-hmm. right? And so, in my opinion, the Bitcoin Core is just another creator on top of Bitcoin.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like the actual Bitcoin Core team, but you know, Lightning Labs has been like a persistent initiative for a long time on Bitcoin.
Yeah, so I mean,
Lightning Network specifically.
Yeah, but they're still, right? They're just another community member, right, building.
Yeah.
And so even if they build something, it's still going to be left up to the invisible hand, right? So I think the winner is going to be based on a narrative that people can just hitch your wagon to.
Yeah. Yeah, most likely. So let's see. The BRC20 space, man, I don't know. It's just, I guess because we talk about NATs and stuff a lot amongst ourselves, and the fact that we really want to make this specific standard kind of like a wrapper that's applicable and agnostic to like what we're seeing, you know, from the technical meta protocol level itself, right? Because, you know, the introduction of more like DMT principles isn't like some sort of like technical variant, right?
No, it's not a competitor BRC20. It's not its own standard. It's more of like a rethinking of how to create tokens based on non-arbitrary data.
Yeah. So again, do you think you're going to see NATs on this list here under Nostr? Remember the chart we were just looking at?
NATs?
I don't know, dude, because I feel like it's...
Well, because here they're talking about a specific token, right? There's going to be a specific token that represents non-arbitrary tokens, and that token will have like some sort of market cap, and like it'll be, you know, part of the list. Just like Pipe, you can create Pipe tokens. You can create different atomical tokens. You know, BRC20s. There are two BRC20s here.
Yeah.
Right? So there's going to be a non-arbitrary token represented here, and it could be called anything, right? We don't know what it's going to be called.
Yeah. So I guess it's kind of like, again, but see, these all have, like, pretty rich communities that are starting to, like, spin up. And supportive, like, you know, because, I mean.
But that's the thing that we're, that's why we're so interested in what we're working on with DMT is, like, this new thing. It's not, you can't put it in a bucket. The bucket doesn't exist, right? It exists in the sense that ordinals exist, non-arbitrary. Bitmaps exist, non-arbitrary. That's those are the two, right? Rare sats can be considered non-arbitrary, mm-hmm. but the bucket is very small, right? There's only three of them, right? And then DMT is going to come in and, you know, add to it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely different than, I guess, what we're used to on, like, Ethereum.
Because
there was already, like, a pretty set, like, protocol standards in place by the time we got there, started to develop for that ecosystem.
Yeah.
So do you think, like, you know, I guess there's the technical advantages between these different meta protocols. You know, Pipe is not necessarily part of Tap. It's like its whole different thing. Mm-hmm. It's runes.
It's a rune, yeah.
But they're going to have to develop like a whole new like functionality enabling, you know, component to that as well.
Yeah, runes versus BRC20 and Pipe versus Tap. It's going to have its own applications and usability. It's like, what if you consider the OP return of Bitcoin kind of like the cheaper, scalable version of fungible tokens, mm-hmm. right? So maybe that's going to have some sort of application in like project utility.
Yeah. So there's a lot of definitely opportunity here too, because again, Stamps should be on this list, but for whatever reason, like the SRC20 tokens haven't like really exploded the way we've seen, you know, like the first token deployed on these ecosystems, like Atom, I think is trading like around 30 million market cap now.
Yeah.
And the Pipe token itself, most of these tokens have already done basically like 1,000x, I would say.
What was the market cap of some of the SRC20 tokens?
We're looking at like around 5 million-ish so market cap. As of recording this video, which today's the 14th, in case you guys don't know. By the time this video is out there, I mean, the price could be
50
10, 20x by then. You never know. These markets move pretty unpredictably, you know?
Yeah, so there's going to be competitors. I think when it comes to like value attribution, it's hard to predict which one's going to like win out. It's all about like community. Because think about this. We had an entire cycle where everything was an arbitrary token, mm-hmm. right? So it was very hard to kind of predict where that invisible hand was going to select.
Yeah.
And so now with this idea of like non-arbitrary tokens, like with Bitmap and all that, I feel like you can start having a higher probability of what's going to be sticking and what's not. Mm. Right? Because Bitmap has like a very strong community. They have very strong convictions that these things are valuable.
Yeah.
And those are strong convictions based on what exactly?
But I feel like each of these communities have strong convictions.
Well, because they are holding a bag.
Yeah.
Right? You could say that Bitmap holders have strong convictions because they're holding Bitmap.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I mean by
But I think there's an added component to it, right? Like the value attribution to a Bitmap.
Well, that's why we're kind of identifying it. Like, it has to be the DMT thing because I feel like that's the newness thing, and that's going to be what's, I think, attractive to, like, a much more broader demographic.
Sure, yeah.
Because it feels like a little bit like it's tapping into some sort of primal region of our brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, the pattern recognition thing.
Yeah.
That, for one, like, that's the newness that hasn't been really utilized before in Web3.
Yeah.
And again, it's aligned with possibly like our natural inclinations. It's like, we should be sourcing, you know, patterns for new value creation mechanisms, right? Instead of like this, just spinning out of thin air.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree. It has to be tapping into like that primal aspect of our brain in order for it to like click.
Resonate,
yeah.
Yeah, so I think, I think I can make a prediction like that. I think all these ecosystems will have like
their place.
Yeah, like some play. Kind of like what we saw with L1s. It's like, you know, Avalanche, Solana.
Yeah.
They all pretty much boomed and busted, right?
Yeah, and they're still around too.
They're all still around, like hovering around, but I don't think any of them are, in my opinion, going to really either catch up or pass up what Ethereum offers, even though they might be like technically superior, better for like the user demographic.
I agree. I don't see that happening either.
You don't think so?
I don't see like Avalanche flipping Ethereum.
Yeah. There are people out there saying it could though.
Yeah, but they also said Ethereum was going to flip Bitcoin.
True. Yeah, so I'm thinking this is going to play out similarly. Like you're going to have plenty of different meta protocol ecosystems, developers building for each of them, you know, very like mirrored products and protocols that look very similar to one another.
Yeah.
you know, communities that have deep conviction for all of them. But ultimately, I think Ordinals is going to win out just because, you know, it's the first like utilizer of DMT principles.
Yeah.
Right. Something that we're identifying and slapping like an umbrella of name for like this.
Yeah. Cause we're trying to figure out, I was like, what is it about Ordinals? It's like, you know, it has to be this DMT aspect. Like, what is it about rare sats? What is it about bitmap? Mm-hmm. It's like, it all goes back to like this pattern recognition process that humans have been doing for thousands of years.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I am a little bit interested to see like what goes on with Taproot assets just because of,
And this is in the face of like, you know, a potentially superior protocol in stamps where it's basically information that's non-prunable because it's on every single node instead of some nodes, mm-hmm. right? If you really care about the provenance of art being on chain, well, then you're going to care about that art being on every single node, mm-hmm. not on some nodes or most nodes.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the position that stamps is in. And although this is like technically better, it's one, it's more expensive. And mm-hmm. two, you know, it doesn't have like that pattern process.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, our assessment and I guess our attempt to try and understand and like create like an explanation for what we're seeing, right? Because you would expect like, I guess, like a technically like superior, you know, meta protocol to gain the most adoption and therefore like the most, you know, liquidity and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that these markets appreciate. But that's not always the case.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you know that we're more than just a YouTube channel? We also built Mscribe, the first inscription platform built from the ground up for the metaverse on Bitcoin. Connect your bitmap ordinals and use our tools to bring your community into the virtual realm. Support us by joining the movement at mscribe.io. Like, comment, and subscribe for the latest alpha. Back to the video.
So, yeah, I guess in the context of that, I mean, again, that's not to say we're only going to like exclusively cover what's happening on ordinals. I feel like everything deserves a fair shot.
Yeah.
Everything deserves a fair, like,
dude, stamps could do 1,000x, right? Yeah. But that doesn't mean it's better than ordinals or has more liquidity than ordinals. It just kind of exploded. And then for whatever reason, just maybe it doesn't catch on, or I don't know.
So what do you think about Taproot assets?
So same thing, Taproot assets, same thing. It's like, it's going to be probably a more superior protocol for one reason or another. But I don't know if it has the same sort of attraction.
Yeah, the resonance thing. Yeah. That's really what's in question here, because
we really talk about a lot of like physics stuff, resonating, just like non-arbitrariness, like the pattern recognition.
Digital matter.
Yeah, digital matter.
Well, where do you think that's coming into play? Where's that coming from? I mean, I did go to school for physics. You know, neither did you.
No, it's not physics, but it's like science, and
yeah,
science is not arbitrary, it just is what it is.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do also with like our fixation on this metaverse space,
yeah,
trying to create again like a whole new virtual existence layer. So I don't know, injecting a little bit of like physical properties into that like manifestation kind of makes sense.
It does,
and in a way it's like you know, let's pull in some of like the things that worked out, I guess, in our physical reality, bring it to the digital, you know?
Yeah, because we're here in a non-arbitrary sense. Like, it could be the right sort of, like, dials and knobs that the conditions on Earth, you know, enable life, right? And so we're trying to recreate those conditions in the digital sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is you know, who did this image here? I don't know if this person actually did it or...
It says Insight News right there.
Insight News. Yeah, this is a good depiction of like what exactly is happening. And then you discover this Noster thing, treat and trick. Mm-hmm. What's going on here?
Well, again, these are the Taproot assets, dude. So okay, would be like, I guess this is like a dual...
So, but what about...
Dual drop.
So Noster is just a name?
It's like the Unisat from what I've seen. So we're going to obviously do like some deep dive videos on this in the future.
This is interesting because Noster, I believe they're using Noster for like communications.
Well,
like,
yeah, Noster is like a whole
technology
decentralized like platform for, I think building like communication layer.
Yeah.
So you could build things like a decentralized Twitter.
So in this case, is this the name of a token or what?
It's, you can look it up, dude, right now. Noster Assets. That's just the name of a platform. There it is.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Scroll through that. So here's a little bit of like a sneak peek. Or like, it's not a sneak. Like, this thing is peekable. You could just look at it now. Go to mainnet.nosterassets. This was deployed on Halloween. Okay. Hence, Trick and Treat. You know, those were like the first deployed tokens here.
So first asset management platform powered by Noster Protocol. Oh, that's interesting. Secured by Lightning Network. Connect Noster to start managing your assets.
So it must have their own wallet as
Install the Albi extension on your Chrome.
Okay.
All right. So then we have here, we have Sats. We
that's
have
it,
Treat
dude.
And Trick.
See, this is what I mean. Like, this feels like Taproot Assets is probably like the most closely aligned like meta protocol initiative to the Bitcoin Core ecosystem just because, you know, a lot of like what brought the Taproot upgrade, I think the considerations of it, why the core community of developers decided to integrate it into the Bitcoin Core code was to support the Lightning Network, I think, and the adoption of it. Right.
Okay.
So now that they're building like a whole meta protocol on Lightning Network, it kind of makes it feels like if there is like an industry label to like Bitcoin, like outside of like Satoshi, and like, you know, what is kind of like aggregated on top of Bitcoin, through history's past, you know, like the Lightning Labs and the industry around that feels like that would be it.
Right? Yeah.
So the fact that there's like a meta protocol on the horizon, like a token issuance system.
Yeah.
Closely aligned, I guess, to like what I label as the industry of Bitcoin. For one, it's something that cannot be ignored, right? Period. Like we have to at least see what's happening there.
Yeah, I agree.
And this is going to be the ultimate test of this invisible hand thesis, right? Are they going to care?
Yeah.
Like there's like such industry support for this ecosystem and technical advantages because it's on a scalable network.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Will all these things matter is kind of like the question I'm getting at. Or is like, screw all that, dude. We like ordinals because of, it taps into our monkey brain. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The pattern stuff.
Yeah.
The DMT stuff. Even though like, man, it's painful to use. What do you think of this, dude? What are you looking at?
Well, I'm looking at, so they have a marketplace here where you can dabble into this ecosystem and they have Treat as the token.
Yeah, so this is very like Unisat-esque, right?
Just they have like this ID system here, right? And then so they have a price, 265 sats per token, right? This is roughly 9 cents per token. They're selling 1,000 tokens here.
$93 for 1,000 tokens, okay.
$93. And then so someone here is selling 2,000, some 1,606.
So can we do like a rough napkin math of the market cap if we go back to like,
so let's go to the Explorer. How many tokens total? Sorry, let's go to the assets. For Treat is, doesn't say.
I think hover over something around there. Right there? This one.
It says total supply copy 100,000.
I can't be right. Maybe under, hover over the thing on the right, like amount, maybe?
Oh, hold on. Oh, it's my copy. Oh, there it is. So this is 2.1 billion. This is 210 million.
So 210 million times 9 cents. Let's round it up to 10 cents.
Okay, so let's do that.
Which
math.
Isn't that 21 million?
Yeah.
So damn, dude, it already has a market cap of 21 million.
Wait. Yeah, you're right. So Treat is
By the way, like we just discovered
$21 million. That's crazy.
Yeah, so we just discovered this last night, so forgive us for our, like, we're just, like, in real time, discovering here these Taproot assets. But that's a pretty big market cap.
They're asking $21 million market cap?
And I think people are actually, like, buying these things at this market cap. So,
wow.
This is what I mean by this is not something to fade and ignore.
Yeah.
If these things come off the rip, they're probably trading much lower. Like, cause remember, these were released a couple weeks ago on Halloween.
It's true.
So there's an active market here. You know, there's something happening. It cannot be faded. You know, we don't know. This is never,
try not to fade anything because that's how you miss out.
Yeah. See, Will is full engaged now. This is, I see that glimmer in his eye. He's like, what's something interesting is happening here?
Oh, right? Look at this.
What's that?
Oh, these are sats. One sat is like...
Oh, it's a new token.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, no, this is treat. So, treat was 0.0003 cents. Oh, shit, it did 100x already, dude.
No freaking way. So, that was like the... I guess this is October. It only costs one sat to inscribe. How many?
This is October 30th.
10,000? You inscribe 10,000 treats for one sat? There's no fucking way, dude. Actually, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, this was canceled. All right, let's go to the next one.
All right.
Filled. Oh, so it was 7 cents. 10 cents. Interesting.
Okay, so... Stay tuned to our actual like deep dive analysis because we obviously need to do a little bit more due diligence on this.
So I'm thinking it launched pretty close to 21 million market cap and it's still there.
Really?
Yeah. Because they're selling right now for 9 cents.
Yeah. So the price hasn't really moved much.
Yeah.
At all. Interesting. So there really isn't enough like, here we go, 3 cents. Price kind of like dumped a bit. Yeah,
17 cents sell. Damn, this guy made out.
It's quite a lot of variance here between there prices. Is.
Yeah, but that's how it is, right? Each one is like sort of like an NFT and you sell what you got and that's about it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, so this is part of like trying to learn what's happening in the ecosystem. It's a lot to keep up with. The fact that we're able to do what we can is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's nonstop, and it's happening across the board again. Like, even Dogenals. Shout out to the Doge.
Yeah, where's ecosystem. That on this chart, dude?
It's not here.
It's not on Bitcoin.
Not yet, but their native, I guess their flagship coin. I think it's called Doge.
Yeah.
Also, did like a magnificent run. I think the last I looked at it was hovering around a million market cap.
1 million.
Yeah, now it's around like 11 or 12.
Okay.
Respectable, dude. That's a respectable market cap. You know, yeah. It should be on this list for sure. But so this thing is expanding, right? We're getting more and more of these meta protocol,
yeah,
like participants.
Yeah. So, you know? What's the difference between Bitcoin and like something like Doge and Dogenals and all that? Is that Bitcoin
or Ethscriptions?
Or Ethscriptions. Well, it's Bitcoin again.
Yeah, but Ethereum is still Ethereum.
Sure.
You know, they're saying Ethereum is going to get their ETF moment too, like imminent.
Yeah. BlackRock is doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like Ethereum, Bitcoin, they're pretty much in the same camp.
Yeah.
Exclusive.
Well, I mean, those are blue chips, right?
As blue as they get.
I mean, if you're going to pick one blue chip, though, which one is it, though?
Well, I feel like that might be debatable, but...
I guess, yeah, it is debatable.
Yeah, I mean, if they're both like boomer products, you know, boomer accessible.
Yeah, you get both.
Yeah, exactly. Let's hedge against one another, you know, 60-40 allocation, maybe.
Yeah.
60% Bitcoin, 40% Ethereum, and I'm fulfilling my boomer responsibilities by hedging and, you know, being a responsible, you know, 401k manager.
It's not very crypto friendly of you, I mean. All in, dude.
Well, why the fuck do you think we're talking about this shit? It's like, this is really, now this is the stuff that we like, right? We're not.
Yeah, this is definitely fringe.
I'm not buying Bitcoin.
Furthest from boomer activity.
Yeah, I'll tell you that straight up, dude. I'm not buying Bitcoin to hold Bitcoin. I've never done that in my life. You obviously have.
I mean, you should just like buy it and hold it forever, right? This is like the most valuable asset humanity has ever created.
Okay.
And you're going to like flip it? Get out of here, dude.
Fuck yeah, I'm gonna flip it, dude. That's where all the action and fun is at, you know? Like, and that's been my career in Web3 is I never bought Ethereum to buy and hold either. I was onboarding onto Ethereum because I was interested in all the different things, like the ICOs and such that I could, you know, I didn't get to participate in because US citizen.
Yeah, you're American, dude. Come on.
Yeah, I live in the land of cuckery. But I wanted that Ethereum so that I could, you know, participate in the market, you know, the secondary market of all these ERC-20 tokens, right?
Yeah.
I only buy Bitcoin to participate in the secondary market of BRC-20 or Atomicals or Pipe.
I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying, you know, save like 10% into Bitcoin.
Why? There's no 10% is not going to change anything.
I don't know.
I guess it's like a just. Dude, just
what
in
if
case.
That ETF like turns, you know, one Bitcoin to $1 million?
Wow.
Right. And you've accumulated 10% out of your history in crypto, right?
You know, something that we kind of missed from the last cycle that happened in the first is like Bitcoin. It was a weird like rhythm between like Bitcoin when Bitcoin surged, yeah. Like all the liquidity exited alts and went straight into Bitcoin anytime that was happening.
Well, you know why though, right? Binance.
Yeah.
Everything like, was paired pegged. To Bitcoin.
That's right. Yeah. So, but that didn't happen last cycle because of stable coins, right?
Because of stable coins and automated market makers. Yeah, and
exactly.
So it was swapping, more
DeFi and all this stuff.
Smoother, I guess.
Yeah. We have like a decoupling. You're right. Yeah. So, I was going to say, like, this time around, in the event of, I don't know, $1 million Bitcoin, there could be, like, a mass exodus from the Ordinals ecosystem into Bitcoin, but probably not. Probably
no,
not. I don't
no.
think so. I don't think that's ever going to happen again.
Well, there's going to be an exit to a stablecoin, yes.
Well, yeah.
So the market cap of a stablecoin is going to go up significantly.
It always does, dude. It's called Tether. Like, they just print infinitely.
Well, it's fine that they print it as long as they back it.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess so. But I don't know.
But yeah, you're right. It was easy to like, you know, once Bitcoin got to $20,000, you put it all into Ethereum. That goes up 150x.
Yeah.
And then you sell that into something else. I don't know.
Definitely different times, dude. Different times for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess I'm just trying to like predict the future here. Like, what is this bull cycle going to look like? And I think, yeah, all these are going to have some play again. I mean, there's one of the main value or one of the main like sexy points, I guess, of why we're so focused on the Bitcoin ecosystem is it's like, it's the most liquid rich, right?
Well, that, and it's never, well, I wouldn't say it's well, never happened before, but not like this.
Yeah. But the question is, in my mind, at least, is there enough capital to go around for all these meta protocol ecosystems? Like basically like the next bull cycle ends, will all of these still exist plus more?
Well, they will exist because they're protocols. So you can use them or not use them. Right.
Well,
will they have like communities and like activity and all that? Probably not exist
in the sense that like the layer ones that emerged last cycle exist today. Right. Like some of them are still like multiple $1 billion ecosystems. Actually, most of them are a lot of them are.
But they exist because they're solving a market issue like scalability. It's like we need a blockchain for games, right?
Yeah, but each of these have like technical viability to them, solving some kind of pain point.
If they solve a pain point, yes, they will exist.
Yeah. Oh, then that means they all will. Like Atomicals, you know, has their own.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, they're
So like Ordinals is like a blue chip sort of a PFP platform, right?
Wow.
Right? Yeah. Because you can only exist on Bitcoin in a like sustainable sense if people are willing to pay thousands of dollars per transaction.
Yeah.
Right. But you can't do that in a game economy, right?
Yeah.
But you'll use runes or you'll use stacks to enable your market.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, Ordinals is going to be like the Bitcoin of meta protocols. Like it's going to be everyone's going to refer to it as like.
It's a blue chip asset.
Well, the dinosaur, like it's the least robust, it's the slowest,
the most expensive,
yeah, things like this, right?
Yeah.
And, but therefore it's going to be the most valuable.
Yeah.
But there's people are going to say like you're not supposed to build like consumer apps on Ordinals.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, you need to be building that on stacks, like some layer two. Like that's what's happening on Ethereum, right?
Well, yeah, because
you don't build consumer facing apps on Ethereum layer
one. Because for web two, every click that we do in web two, it doesn't cost us money, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
if you're going to build like an NFL Rivals, like a game
that
people are actually downloading on their phone, millions of people.
Yeah.
And they're actually like, you can hide all the Web3 stuff on the back end.
Right.
And like the consumers don't even realize like they're, you know, engaged in a Web3 ecosystem. Yeah. That can only be achieved on, you know, something that's scalable. Like in that case, isn't that on Polkadot? That is on Polkadot. Yeah. And we have experience. We used Polkadot a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
It was mind blowing how fast that was.
Instantaneous.
And they're covering the minimal gas fee that they charge too, so you literally see none of it.
As they should. I mean, we did that for Polygon assets
through Biconomy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that is going to become like a standard, you know, UX expectation in Web3. But again,
it's a customer acquisition cost. It's a cost of doing business, like all that stuff, which it's fine. Reduce the friction so that your customers can go and do whatever it is that they want.
Interesting. Damn. Yeah. This is looking more and more obvious to me. Like, I mean, it always has, but now I'm starting to like really see like this bull market play out.
Yeah.
For sure, Ordinals is going to explode first because it has to. It has to set the ground layer of like.
Yeah, there's so many. There's 40 million Ordinals.
Yeah.
You don't think that's going to like pique people's interest? Like, what the hell is happening? And
well, we got to get people into this ecosystem. Yeah, interested. All these faders, because there's, for whatever reason, there's obvious like indication Ordinals is should not be faded.
Yes.
Such as like, you know, volume and such, like, you know, competing with Ethereum in real time. For more than just a day, like a whole week of competitiveness. Like,
yeah, Bitcoin has surpassed Ethereum in NFT sales.
I don't know how that's not like hitting everybody's like front desk.
Yeah, CNBC should be like,
yeah,
what's going on, guys?
Well, even more like zoomed in, like we know a lot of other like founders who founding projects on Ethereum.
Yeah.
Or who founded projects on Ethereum. And I think they've been made aware of like what something is happening on Bitcoin.
Yeah. It's just easier not to pay attention, dude. That's it. It's like I'm in my comfy environment. I don't want to like alter my comfy environment for something that's happening.
I don't know, dude. That's shocking because we made this leap in absence of any of that like supporting evidence that like this is gonna work out.
Because Bitcoin, dude.
I guess.
And you know what? We've been having this dialogue for a number of years now, and like we've already like mentally have a position in like in terms of value. And when we first heard there was NFTs on Bitcoin, we were like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Like instantly, because I think we have a consistent dialogue. But other people.
That's true.
Other people don't have this dialogue. And when they hear something new like NFTs on Bitcoin, they just kind of blow it off just because they don't have like.
Yeah. A lot of it is back bias.
Yeah, that
like,
too.
You know, if you're already so vested on like, you know, other ecosystems from other L1s, it's kind of like. It's more in your best interest to kind of like focus on how do I bring more value and more appreciation of what I'm already invested into, I guess. Because,
well,
to pump my bags,
it's hope.
Yeah. Well,
you can't control somebody else's project, right?
Yeah. I guess. And it's just kind of like, yeah, I don't want to surrender my position to kind of like, you know, traverse to a whole new one. I had to like, that's like a whole new
unproven
learning.
One.
Yeah, it's a whole new learning curve. Now I have to relearn this whole new chain. But I feel like that's not an excuse, dude. Like, it's Bitcoin.
Yeah, I agree.
Who cares?
I agree.
However much learning it takes, it's going to be worth it, I feel like.
100%. That's the lesson that we learned early on when we faded Bitcoin on day one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you never fade anything new, especially when it has traction.
Yeah. Yeah, now there's, but that's my point.
Yeah.
Now there's proof of traction.
Yeah. And you're still fading it. And that's on you.
I feel like the majority, like if you go on YouTube.
Yeah. Very few are talking about this.
You look for Ordinals and we show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that experiment right now, dude.
To me, it's still a little mind blowing. It made sense. Like when we.
What should we search?
I don't know.
Bitmap video.
Well, okay. This makes sense.
Okay. So they're talking about bitmap. Let's do bitmap Ordinals.
There hey, that's us, Bitmap dude. King. What do you know?
Yeah, that's us.
Okay, Bitmap is a little
okay,
not
so
fair.
Let's
just do Ordinals.
Ordinals, okay. Let's do videos.
Oh, not us. Yeah,
Ordinals wallet. How to get started.
Oh, new, not us.
Yeah.
Not us either. Not us. maybe this is not true. Maybe it's the awareness is starting to spread.
Yeah, maybe so.
Which is good. But typically, okay, leading up to now, it's like mostly the big influencers that I am aware of who kind of like galvanized and led a lot of interest in the last cycle.
Yeah, so when you drill in past the Ordinals concept and it's us.
Right. Which, and yeah, we got Ordinals Revolution. So like, there's only a handful, I think, of like dedicated,
yeah,
like entities, whatever you want to call, label a channel like us, fucking, I don't know, educators,
yeah,
influencers, Nah. There's only a handful of us, dude.
It's weird.
It's mind-blowing to me because there's so many crypto influencers on Twitter and on YouTube.
Yeah, and they're still talking about like Ethereum updates, like just standard DeFi, like new activity.
They're talking about like games and shit.
Yeah.
I mean, which is fun. I mean, I guess it makes sense too. Gaming is a big fucking deal. So
I feel like, I think what we're trying to get at from an absolute perspective, you're looking at all of crypto, including Bitcoin, like where is all the action and the attention? Or where is all the action happening? I feel like it's happening on Bitcoin.
Man, we might be victim of like some serious bias here. I don't know.
Well, I'm talking about like try to be objective as possible because right now the charts say yeah. for NFT activity it's Bitcoin.
That's true.
Right?
Maybe we need to do this. Can we bring up one of those charts?
Yeah, let's go to Trevor. Twitter. And TO. So Trevor has a chart here.
There's a lot of ninjas, dude.
I need my ninja turtles, dude.
Yeah, dude, Trevor, if you're watching us or if somebody wants to clip this, dude, I mean, these ninjas would look really nice on the BlockRunner channel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
All right. So here's a screenshot. It's like blockchains by NFT sales volume in the last 24 hours. Bitcoin has 17 million in 24 hours and Ethereum 12.
Yeah. So, and then if some of the big, okay, the, no.
Yeah, the, look at Polygon, dude. What is happening?
I don't know, dude. But again, so in context of this, okay, these aren't the biggest USD like values we've seen. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Well, that's called a bear market.
Exactly. I don't know. So objectively, we're trying to be as objective as possible here. It's like, why are people not just like converting over in droves? Like,
I think our prediction is they will. They just don't know it yet.
Okay, then what has to happen? I feel like we had this discussion. Remember, like,
yeah, that's true. What does
we talked about this when we were like first getting into NFTs, and we were like wondering why isn't everybody like as excited that's or like and paying attention to NFTs the way we are.
Right.
Do they not see it? You don't remember?
That's true. I do remember that. Yeah.
We used to have like round table discussions in Decentraland talking about this very thing. And we were like just sitting there.
So where is everybody?
It's like, why is there only like 10 of us showing up into this and like, you know, flexing our art on each other?
Yeah.
Like, why isn't everybody doing this? And little did we know, like within like 8 months of those discussions, like everybody was.
Right. Everybody. Paris Hilton, Snoop Dogg.
Dude, I was getting
Eminem.
Like, I was getting hit up by people from high school I haven't talked to in like a decade.
Yeah.
And it's like, tell me more about this NFT thing. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. That had to have been like the most top indicator of top indicators.
Yeah.
But the point is, so we're kind of like reliving that experience again here on Ordinals. It's like, dude, it seems so obvious to us.
Yeah. I think because it's obvious to us, it'll catch on in about 8 months.
All right. So that's our prediction, dude. It's like this feels like deja vu, glitch in the matrix type shit.
100%.
You know, but back then we were like, I remember some of my answers whenever we were having this podcast discussion. It was like, somebody is going to need to like buy a fucking Ferrari or Bugatti.
I remember that.
Remember?
Yeah.
Because you asked, like, what's it going to take? It's like somebody has a headline has to go out there, like some random kid and some random game in crypto.
Yeah.
Sold his sword.
Yeah.
And bought a fucking $500,000 Ferrari with it.
Yeah.
Or $1 million Bugatti or something like that.
Yeah.
With
an
NFT.
And then people start doing their research. It's like, how do I get
one of these swords? Yeah. Yeah. And guess what? That actually happened.
Yeah.
There are tons of examples of people who flipped NFTs and bought supercars and fucking $1 million mansions and such.
Yeah.
And so I was right. Yeah. It's going to take shit like that, you know? And maybe we're not there yet. Like, we've had some big ordinal sales.
Yeah, $30,000 for one bitmap.
A bitmap sell for 30 grand. I think we saw some Bitcoin rocks go for like 2 or 3 Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So we're getting there, right? Yeah.
But this is definitely not Ferrari money.
Yeah. Yeah, but this definitely makes me like more comfortable. Now I know exactly where we're sitting in the market cycle.
Yeah. So, I mean, all in, right? We got about
8 months, dude.
Yeah.
Set your timers, guys. Eight to 12 months.
So what is it? What's the target? 8 months from now is June, July. It's an ordinal summer, dude.
Right after the fucking happening, dude.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
It's coming, dude. ordinal summer. I think that's going to be it.
All right, TJ, what are you going to do there, dude?
I'm going to be on the marketplace for a Bugatti.
That's right, dude. You're going to cash in your
ETH?
Never sell the ETH. Well, only hold in stake.
Hold in stake. Yeah, dude. I think it's going to happen, dude. Fuck.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It's always like kind of like trippy to think about. It's like,
how do we see it before everybody else? I mean, that is the whole point of, like,
I guess our existence,
our entertainment,
our entertainment value as like as a channel.
Yeah. It's like being able to predict these things and being right.
Yeah, but we don't like to be so, I guess, I feel like we don't boast enough about this.
No, you know why? It's because we don't take selfies with our Ferraris and stuff.
Well, we don't have Ferraris for a while. Let's be very clear.
Well, we could just go to the dealership and just take a selfie at least.
We could. Because, yeah, I mean, we have evidence that we're not just bullshitting here. We literally saw these fucking boats coming multiple times.
Yeah.
And we're telling you guys, dude, we see another boat on the horizon, like a big fucking boat.
Yeah.
But last time around, we weren't able to slap like an actual USD. We didn't know it was going to be a $60 billion boat.
Yeah.
Like for the NFT cycle. We had no idea. We just thought like at some point, a lot of people were going to care about these things. And,
yeah,
you know, there's going to be a bull market.
No way we could have predicted $60 billion.
Yeah. So at least a $60 billion boat's coming to Bitcoin is my assessment. And when I say 60 billion, that's not like a market cap. That's like how much
volume
or like revenue or something like that. Was like a revenue metric for like the NFT space in general. Like that was just like sales of NFTs.
So at peak, Ethereum got to $600 billion in market cap. So 60 billion is 10% of that. Imagine we go to Bitcoin and we do 10% of the same thing. So let's assume in the last cycle, right, in 2021, we had ordinals, right? And in ordinals, we had roughly a $1.2 trillion market cap. So we're talking about $120 billion worth of NFT volume or revenue on Bitcoin.
Jesus.
Like if you know, we were on a different timeline.
Yeah.
120, that's double what happened on Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, fuck.
All right, sorry. Double what happened on Ethereum.
Yeah. I guess it's all starting to hit me, dude. You feel it, dude? Do you feel that euphoria coming? I do, for some reason. I didn't really feel it. It's really hard to, like...
Oh, that last time,
I know why. It's because we're in that fucking disbelief phase of the market psychology. Remember?
Are we in disbelief?
Bring up that cheat sheet. Now we're going super off script here just because, I mean, there is no script, but we wanted to talk a little bit more about bitmaps and such, but I don't know. I'm really just trying to like get my finger on the pulse of like where we are and where we're headed. Right. Like,
yeah,
because this is a big deal. Like, you know, it feels like there's like a perfect storm brewing here from like a market perspective. Look at that disbelief.
Yeah, I guess.
That's kind of like what I've been feeling. It's like,
yeah, you're right. So we're gonna go down here, like from the value perspective, and then explosion after happening.
Explosion. I mean, it sounds so cliche to like literally lay out like that as if we have like a Clio crystal ball.
Well, this market psychology cheat sheet exists for a reason.
Yeah, I know.
We didn't do this.
That's what I mean. It's like, yeah, we're not making this up.
Yeah.
This is very predictable, like human psychology here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So only up from here is what you're saying.
Well,
first, a small dip.
First dip, then up.
Yeah. First dip, dude. We're calling it a little dip.
Yeah.
And then
so that's, you know, this is primarily why I think we're going to see like $29,000 Bitcoin again in the short term.
Possibly.
That is the last time we will see a $20,000 Bitcoin.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, dude. Think about that. Remember, because when we hit, after being at $3,500 Bitcoin when we started the podcast, mm-hmm. after it hit like $10,000, I said, we'll never see $3,000 again.
Yeah.
And it's true.
You're right. You were definitely right, dude. We had other people like panicking, saying for sure we're getting back there.
You were saying we were going to see $1,000 Bitcoin.
Other people, dude. What do you mean?
You were saying that.
No, there were others out there. I would never say such a thing. My predictions aren't that off, you know.
Yeah, and I told you I would like sell my laptop to get $1,000 Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Like these macro markets have been much more like
volatile.
No, like they held up way better than I was expecting. You remember?
Oh yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, we were expecting an apocalypse of like financial proportions,
a financial apocalypse, and we were like assuming at some point like some wars would break out, and like they actually did.
They did, yeah. And then really, like Bitcoin's still still going.
Yeah, that kind of makes me. I don't know. I don't want to pivot into doom discussion. Let's not do that.
Why would that make worry you though?
Well, because I mean the whole like thesis was like, oh, let's see how Bitcoin does in context of like an actual macro and like disaster.
We've seen a pandemic.
Yeah.
Once in 100 years it happened to us, mm-hmm. right? In our lifetime.
Yeah.
And then we've seen multiple wars.
Yeah. We're seeing
printing of fiat currency up the ass.
Yes.
And
I think the inflation numbers are actually going down. Yeah. So it's like a lot of like the Federal Reserve, I guess, like response is actually,
you know, what's interesting. I think it was Axiomade who made a tweet, and it was like, you know what? Bitmap is disinflationary. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait a minute. It's like, how? And it's like, every time there's a new bitmap, the denominator keeps getting bigger, but the numerator, which is the new entrance of bitmap, stays the same for infinity.
So like compounds in the opposite direction.
So the inflation rate actually goes down into the future.
Yeah.
And then and then our fiat inflation is 3%, but it's 3% of what? Right? The current supply of money.
Yeah.
And so in the future it's still 3%. Hey, inflation didn't go up, but technically we're printing way more money in the future than we are today.
Yeah.
Like that's insane.
Hey man, it's working. let it rip is what, you know. As long as we get to kick the cans and you know
think about that though. We have a diverging charts, yeah. right? We got Bitmap and like Bitcoin getting disinflationary, and then we have like the value of the dollar exponentially getting less valuable.
Yeah,
exponential.
Agreed. Now you're starting to sound like a maxi here, dude. A laser eye, right? So, you know, fucking activate the sophons, dude. You don't want to conflate that narrative in any sense. It's like, oh yeah, I hear your deflationary sound money, but I can't even move it, dude.
Yeah,
it's I can't even buy shit with it. You know, you it's full of fucking monkeys and fucking frogs and shit.
Yeah,
you know, you're telling me like this little sat that I'm sending, you know, to my family across the planet. It's got like embedded whatever the fuck's on it. Like, yeah. I don't want that
shit pictures.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
Well, what I say is like, well, we're increasing the security of Bitcoin.
Oh, wow. You sound like Danny, dude. It's true, though. But yeah, so that's going to be, man, these are all sound. These are good narratives. Like, this is good. Like, you know, you want to have these types of discussions publicly and openly and, you know, have everybody kind of like, you know, think about this. Like, yeah, okay, it might not. It has some added properties, I guess. This new money.
Yeah.
Has some new properties to it that like old school money never had, right?
Correct.
But that doesn't like make it like some sort of like less efficient medium of exchange in any way, right?
Yeah, now that
you mentioned it. Yeah, we live in the digital age. Guess what? There's some embedded digital information to our money. Whoops.
Right, right.
It's like no shit that was going to happen.
Yeah. You know? You could say that fiat currency has art on it too, right?
It does.
Yeah. It does, right?
Yeah, and then it's got like a fucking timestamp on it.
Yeah, each coin dollar has an ID.
It does.
Every single one, a unique ID.
Yeah, so now our fungible monies have now become non-fungible.
Correct.
Yeah,
they're technically non-fungible.
Yeah, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
You're ruining my monies. So, I mean, money as a concept is it's it's completely a construct, right? It's just made up.
It is made up.
So there's no like rules, defined like rule set of like how money needs to be.
Correct.
For human beings to like, you know, fulfill their like economic endeavor.
Yeah.
So yeah, that Bitcoin is going to be fine no matter what. Right?
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, dude.
Well, that was interesting. That's good.
You know, any main takeaways from this discussion, dude? It's like, I mean, okay, clearly there's a meta protocol like dispute.
Well, that, and we're seeing something that the larger majority has not seen yet. And that's the biggest takeaway.
Yeah. I'm getting a lot of those like
the butterflies.
Yeah. Like in real time.
There's a gas, dude.
It's everything. I got a lot going on in there. It's fucking squirrely. But yeah, dude, deja vu, I think is the perfect word. And if you guys want to know exactly what we're talking about, just go watch like our earliest podcast episodes from 2019.
Yeah, the ones that are like 2.5 hours long.
That's true. We used to do this for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
But yeah, in those discussions, we're like, who's going to give a fuck about DeFi? You know, there's not even a token. There's that. And then like, who's going to care about NFTs and how? When's the metaverse going
to
take off?
Yeah. And I was trying to convince you that Bitcoin was going to 100K in this cycle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Next cycle. Yeah.
But then we started drawing these meme lines that totally failed.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know. So we've been through a lot. And I feel like we're about to go through like a crazy.
Yeah. This is definitely unique. This bull market.
Yeah.
We got ETFs coming, dude. Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Yeah.
This is a factor that has no like historical precedence.
Which one specifically?
The ETF thing.
Oh yeah, that too.
Like what is that going to do to the price? Is it going to double it? Is it going to triple it? I mean, what happens?
It's going to do something without a doubt.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I think you guys are in for a treat. This is going to be one entertaining journey.
It is.
Leading, you know, and yeah, man, we're gonna try to, I guess, maintain our
enthusiasm throughout.
No, not that. Like our presence, I guess, along the whole way. Because at some point, it's gonna become as overwhelming as it already is. Like it's gonna become
even crazier.
Many magnitudes more overwhelming in the heat of a bull market. You know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that's it for us. Hopefully, you enjoyed it. And if you're listening, make sure you watch our YouTube channel because there's a lot of visuals that we've added today.
Mm-hmm, as usual.
Yeah. And if we miss anything, any market like activity that you guys want us to talk about, let us know in the comment section below. And follow all our Twitter accounts. There's a lot of them. All right. I appreciate you guys, and we'll catch you in the next podcast.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Blockrunner podcast. Make sure you visit our website, theblockrunner.com, and sign up to stay up to date on the latest in crypto. Also, reach out to us on Twitter @theblockrunner.